Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer, because Baruch Hu spoke, Moshe saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Leimer, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, saying, Isha Kisazria, the older Zohar, if a woman will conceive a child and she will give birth to a male, the Tomer Shivas Yomim shall be impure for 7 days. Kimeini das dvoisa titma, like the days of Anida, the flow of Anida, she will become Tame. So the first Rashi over here on the parasha quotes a Chazal. Omer Rav Simloi. Rav Simloi said, Kishem she yitzirose shel Adam, achakol behemach ayah v'oiv, v'maaseh bereishis. The same way the creation of man came after the creation of behemoths, chayas, and oifers by Maisa Bereshis. Kach Teirosa Nisparsha Achateiros Behema Chaya Ba'oif. The Torah of the human being comes after the Torah of Behema Chaya Ba'oif. What does that mean? At the end of last week's parasha, the Torah tells us about the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals, about the behemoths, chayas, and oifers. It tells us about the dinim of tumah of the animals, of shrotzim. So after we finish with the Torah of the behemoths, chayas, and oifers, so now the Torah speaks about man that was created last, his Torah comes last as well. There's a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says, why was the creation of Adam after every behemoth chaya v'oif? Why taka was it last? It says in the pasuk, Ochor v'kedem tzartani. Afterwards and before you created me. Man was created after and he was created before. Im zocha, if he zocha, if he lives a fruitful life, a good life. So Omer Loi, Ato kedem to b'maaseh bereishis. You came before everybody in maaseh bereishis. The Loi, if he's not Zoyche, Omer Loi, we tell him, Apilu Yitesh Kadumcha, even a little gnat, Apilu Shilshil, even a little worm came before you. If he's Zoyche, we say he came before everybody. If he's not Zoyche, then we say even the tiniest Bria came before you. So the question is, how in the world could we tell him, if he's Zoyche, that he came before everything? The fact is he didn't. The fact is, if you look at Maaseh Bereishis, Adam was created last. So how could we say, if he's Zoyche, if you merited, then you were created before everybody? What's the pshat? So the Sefer Oitris HaTayra brings down a beautiful pshat. What does it mean, Ocher v'kedem tzartani? You created me after and before. Man is made of two components. He's made of the guf, and he's made of the neshama. The neshama is the chelek alei kamimah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yipach, v'yapav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed into Adam Arishan, the breath of life. Chazal say, man did not talk, midi lay not talk. He breathed into him a chelik of himself. But Adam is a chelik of like animal. We have a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in us. The chelik of Ruchni, that's a chelik of Hashem. The chelik of Hagashmi, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed from the Adama. So that Taki came after everything. The neshama, which is a chelik of Hashem, came before every bria. Hashem came before the entire bria. It's only the guf that came after the entire bria. So it's totally in the nisim of a person. If a person lives a ruchniyaznik life, if a person's life is his neshama, that is his essence, that is his chiyus, that is his being. So then we say, if a person is his neshama, then he came before everybody. Right? If on the other hand, the person lives a life of gashmiyas, he's into gufnias, he's into taivas, he's into his yetzahara, he's only into olam hazeh, he b'chol doesn't deal with his neshama. What is his essence? His essence is his guf. So if your life is your guf, then you came after every other guf. Even a gnat came before you. The second point is that in this world, we have to live a life of the neshama. There's a mighty dikur of Tzodek HaKayim. The Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu Leimes. Yaakov Avinu did not die. The Gemara asks, didn't die, but the Torah says that they were massacred him and they buried him and they embalmed him. Is it possible that he didn't die and they did all of this for no reason? No, it says in the Quran, that he wasn't nifted. And he says, how did they bury him? And that doesn't answer the question. So Tzadik HaKohen says a mighty wicked thing. Tzadik HaKohen says that if a person lives a life with his guf, then when the guf ceases to exist, the guf died. You're right, then the person died. But for a person whose entire life is only his neshama, and he doesn't really have a connection to the guf is merely a coat that he wears over his neshama. So when a person is nifter, he really has the same essence. The neshama left from over here and went to a different place, and all it did was it took off its coat. When a person takes off his coat, does anybody have a havanina that he died? Of course not. His coat is merely a lavush. So Yaakov Avinu, his essence was his neshama. The guf was merely a coating. That's all it was. Yaakov Avinu Leimes. Someone that lives his life, a life of neshama, a life of ruchnias, it's not shaykh mesabay such a thing. The physical guf is taken off. And he quotes another Gemara. The Gemara in Masech, the Shabbos, that Kuflin Aleph on the day says that a chaya does not have any shlita on an adam unless the person looks like a behemoth to the animal. If a person appears like a behemoth to the animal, then he has shlita over the man. But if the man does not appear like an animal, he appears like something higher, then a chaya does not have any shlita over adam. And that's exactly what we're talking about over here. A person was meant to be his neshama, and the physical guf is merely a levush, that's not his essence. A chai is able to tell. A chai is able to tell. But if a person lives his guf, then he's merely like another animal. So the animal does not feel meshuggah to the person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Pru or Ravu or Middle of Zaharet, or Udu Bid Gasayom, or Ba'if HaShamayim, and so on. And the Gemara brings a Meridik and Maisa. The Gemara brings a Maisa with Rav Shimon ben Chalafta. Shimon ben Chalafta was once walking al Haderech, and all of a sudden he was accosted by a pack of lions. Wasn't despoiled, didn't flinch. He said, Takadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, Hakfirim Shoyagim Latarech, the lions, they're screaming for food. Levakish Mekel Ochlam. All of a sudden, meat came flying down Min HaShemayim. The lions ate the meat, they walked on their way. And he took leftovers of the meat and brought it to the Beis Medrash, and he asked the Shaila if he's allowed to eat this meat. Because the meat, can he assume that the meat is kosher? And they passed him that Min HaShemayim they wouldn't send trade for meat, and the meat is kosher. So I saw a Ha'ara that the Svarim asked, Yitzchak Zilberstein asked the question. The Gemara does not mention a word about Rav Shimon ben Chalafta benching Goyim. Ben Gaimel was like a normal thing. He accosts lions, picks up the meat, comes to the Beis Medrash to ask a shayla. Not a word about Gaimel. What's the pshat? So he answers, it wasn't a nice. For a person of Rav Shimon ben Chalafta's character, that is the way life was meant to be. It's when we walk in the street and you see a pussycat walking by, you bench Gaimel? No. To Matthias, the cat is afraid of us, right? That was the Matthias by people of Rav Shimon ben Chalafta's character. A person that lives a life of neshama, the very nature is that the animals, they're machmir themselves. A friend of our families, they were visiting family in South Africa for one of the Yom Tovim a couple of years ago. So I think it was on Chol Hamoed, they went on a real African safari. I'm not talking about the one great adventures, I'm talking about the real thing. So your mamas were going through a path in the jungle in a vehicle, and it was like a fascinating sight. So these exotic animals, with the wild animals, exotic birds or whatever, and it was something amazing. And all of a sudden, an eerie silence took over the entire area. It was like quiet, it was like a shtickle scary. What happened? The lion made his appearance. You didn't even hear him growl. Everything was quiet. There's a certain sense over there of malchus that when the lion appears, everything stops, everything is quiet. The same way they're machnir themselves to the lion, that is the way they are machnir themselves b'teva to a neshama, because a neshama is lamayla from a lion. The neshama rules over all of them. That's what the Gemara means over here, and that's the pshat why Adam Harishon was created last. That if he's takizoych, if he lives a life of his neshama, then we say you're before everybody. If not, then it's achav, and he's left behind everybody else. Our goal is to live in essence of the neshama. Pasuk goes on to say, Adam ki yihye b'or b'soray. If he has in the skin of his flesh, se'eis o'yisapachas o'yibaheres. These are three different kinds of varying colors of nega. The hoya b'or b'soray v'nega tzaras. It'll be in the skin of his flesh for an affliction of tzaras. B'huva el aron ha'koyen, oya l'achad mi'vona b'koyen. The Rechaim HaKadosh says over here, Adam, ki yiyeh ba'ar b'sarev. Why does it say Adam? The same way in Hilchus Tumas Meis, the Gemara Darshins, it says, Adam ki yomus ba'ayel. Atem kriyim Adam v'loy ha'ayidek rechadim. You, Klal Yisrael, are called Adam. You have the halachas of Tumah and not the Goyim. The same thing over here. Adam ki yiyeh ba'ar b'sarev. Yidin are called Adam. They have the dinim of Negayim. A Goy does not have the din of a Nega. They don't have Negayim. Question is, why not? If anything, Goyim speak more Lashon Hara than Yidin. Look at the gossip columns today. It's like a multi-million dollar business. And gossip papers. The Lashon Hara that goes on by Goyim is Nechayach. So why is it that the Daf Yidin have Negayim and not Goyim? Poshut, you could say, it's a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a nega represents a spiritual makla. And it turns up in the flesh so that a person should realize that he has it, and the male will have to come to the kayin, and the male will have to do tshuva. So it's a special bracha. It's a special way, shalaki derech hateva. It's not the way people think by mistake it's leprosy. It's not a physical thing that could be cured with medicines. It's a ruchnis dikamakla that manifests itself in the skin. That's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. Because we are the b'chinas banim, we're on a higher madrega, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that matana. It's a matana. So that we should do tshuva and cleanse our neshama. That is the simple pshat. But there's a maral. I've mentioned this before in Parsha Shemais, a Mayudikim maral, that says something about Lashon Hara. Maral says as follows. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ochein noida hadover, now I see why Klal Yisrael is meshuvit because of Lashon Hara. Why is this a reason to be meshuvit to the Goyim? The Goyim also speak Lashon Hara. So the maral says that there's a major difference between the essence of a Jew and the essence of a Goy. A Yid is shayach to the Olam HaPnimi, to the inner world. The Ruchni is the world, the world that cannot be seen or heard. The Pnimi is the world, the spiritual world. That's the inner world, Memela. A Yid is introspective. A Yid, he contemplates. He keeps the words to himself. He keeps the words internalized. He doesn't blurt out everything. He's not interested in the Olam HaKitzein. Secrets are not blurted out. Tales of others are not supposed to be blurted out. By his very nature, the Yid is an internal person. The Goy, Adarab, is shayach to the Olam HaGashmi, to the Olam HaKitzein. And that is why you find the Gemara says, Stamay dekechovim payinu. Stamay dekechovim, he blurts out things, he complains, he murmurs. Not so by a Yid. A Yid keeps things internally. A Goy who shayach to the outside world, his tendency is to speak a lot, to talk a lot, to be Megal Saitis and so on. We see it today. You see today that the news media, everything, there are no secrets. They go mamish into a person's kishkis, they're Megala everything. Because the Goy who shayach to the Olam HaChitzein. So if a Goy speaks Lashon Hara, that's not connected to his Teva. That is his Teva. But if a Yid sinks to the low of speaking Lashon Hara, it goes against the very grain of what a Yid is. And then he lowers himself, and then he falls prey into the guy. This is why it says, Odom. Why dafka Odom? Why dafka Yidin have a negative tzaras when it comes to Lashon Hara? Because Lashon Hara is connected to the essence of a Yid. A Yid is a pnimi is dikibriya. A pnimi is dikibriya does not blurt out tales against others. And the male of the nega is shayach to him. Not so a guy. By a guy, it's his teva to blurt everything out, because he has shaykhs to the external world, to the gashmizdik world, to the outside world. Mamela, if he does it, not that it's a good thing. It's bad for guys in society as well, but it does not go against his grain, it does not go against his essence. Viro hakainis hanega ba'or habosar, and the kain will see the nega in the skin of the flesh. Viseyar vanega hofachlova, and the hair on the nega turned white. Umara hanega omot miyar besorei. And the look of the nega is deeper than the skin. Nega tzarasi. Nega tzaras who? V'roa kain v'timei esei. I saw that one of the svarim asks a question. Here, lovon, here white is a simon of tumah. V'chayra, we know that white is a simon of tahara. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yuma that they used to hang up a red string in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur, and they used to wait for it to turn white, to be Mekayim, the Nevuah in Yeshaya, in Yiyu Chata'echem Kashonim, If your chatam will be red like the string, kashela galbino, they'll become whitened like the shelah. So white is a symbol of purity, white is a symbol of goodness, and over here you see that white is a symbol of tumah. What's the pshat? So I hear the Mayri the Keteris to this question. It depends what you're talking about. If the white is an indication of what's on the inside, then it's a beautiful thing. On Yom Kippur, the white was an indication that the neshamas of Klal Yisrael were cleansed, that they were purified. And this was a synonym double of what their pnimius is. If the outside matches with the inside, then white is a beautiful thing. But if something is only white on the outside, but the inside is filthy, then the whole white is sheker. It's a put-on. It's only a veneer. It's only the external part. But past the outside, it's mias on the inside. Then even the outside is a miasnik thing. Lovan. Lovan Arami was called Lovan. Where does a Russia like that get the name Lovan? The Teretz is because on the outside he made himself look like a tzaddik. He whitewashed everything. He cheats Yaakov Avinu. If the Yaakov Avinu made a tie with him, Evodcho Shevashonim Birocho Bidchak Tana. And he spoke out clearly every time. And then Lovan tricks him. And Lovan says, I couldn't do it. Can't do something like that. He was matzdik himself. I meant it l'shem shamayim. Later on, when Yaakov Avinu sees that Pnei Lovan, Einenu Imoy Kitmol Shulshan, and he knew that there was Sakana over here, and he knew that it was not good to live here, and for Ruchni's dicker reasons it was a Sakana, and he runs away, and Lovan chases after him, and Lovan says, what did you do? You didn't allow me to kiss my children, even like Mamashi's a big tzaddik. In the Haggadah we also say, Tzei Ulamad, Mabikish Lovan Arami. On the surface, you can't really tell what Lovan Arami meant to do. You gotta be Tzei Ulaman, which means inside Lovan was rotten to the core. It was only a whitewash on the outside. When it's only a whitewash on the outside, then it's a Dovramias. By Loshon Hara, it says in Parshas Kisavei, Orur Makir Reyehu Basoser, cursed is the person that hits his friend in a hidden way, Zabrashi, Loshon Hara. That means Loshon Hara. On the outside, he makes he's like his friend, and he's nice to him. And behind the scenes, you know, in secret, he speaks Loshon Hara against him. That is the worst part of loving. That is the worst kind of loving. Where on the outside, you put on a show like you're his friend, and underneath it, there's a sinner, and you're trying to harm him. That's the Mida Kineged Mida. There's a Mara loving. When the Mara loving is on the outside, it shows you try to show a niceness on the outside. When inside you are rotten, you'll see that your outside will turn into tzaras. Your outside will become tummy. That is the Mida Kineged Mida over here. So over here, the Mara loving is talking in of tummy. Zois Tia Teirus HaMetzayra. Hashem's Metzayra starts out. This will be the Teira of the Metzayra beyond Taharase. The Huver El Akain will be brought to the Kain. The Gemara in Erechim Dab Tezvot says, Rav Shimon Ben Lakish said, what does it mean, Zois Tia Teirus HaMetzayra? Zuhi Teirasei Shal Maitzi Shama. This is the Teira of what happens to a Maitzi Shama. The Marsha explains, where did he darshan it from over here? Because the pasuk should have said Zois Tia Teres Hatzorua, like it says earlier in Sazria. Why does it say Mitzayra? See, he learns Mitzayra is a lashon of Maitzi Ra. He gives off bad words. This is the Torah of a Maitzi Shemra. So the Chofetz Chaim asked the question: why is it taket that Bisman Hazeh people talk lashon hara and you don't find the negative saras? What's that the pshat of Lashon Hara? Is that the good of Neged Tzaras? Why does Manazer, don't we find the need of Neged Tzaras? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanus on us. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when we had the Kahanim that were doing the Avodah, and we had Karbonis that were able to be matir people and be matir them, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Neged Tzaras as a means for us to be matir ourselves. But Bisman HaZeh, that we don't have the means to rid ourselves of the Negah, the Melech of this Baruch Hu didn't send it. The person of the Negah is not to punish us that we should have tzar. The purpose of the Negah is to get us to do tshuva that we will become tar. As a matter of fact, the Sfar Magdashim say that the word Negah and the word Oineg, Oineg, satisfaction, those are the same letters. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to change the Negah into Oineg. And the tachlis was we should do tshuva and we become tahor and we cleanse our neshamas. Bizman hazeh, we don't have that opportunity. Memeila lechatchila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not send the neged. The tziva hakayim, the kayim will command, the lokach la mitayer shtei tziporim, chayis tayim. Take for the mitayer two tziporim. So Rashi says, why two tziporim? Because the negam come from Lashon Hara, which is a maisa chattering. The melech of his baruch who told us as a kapara, we should bring birds that they also chirp. And that reminds us of the aveira that we were also chirping, we were speaking Lashon Hara. So Chayis tells of the kasha, the Sefer Apirian asks the question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to bring two tayrim, two birds? Why not just one? One bird chatters, connected to one person that spoke Lashon Hara. And also, why is it that one bird is geshachten and the other person is set out free to live? So he says, Amari the Kipshat. The Mepharshim say that the purpose of the Karbanos were that we should learn from them. And we have to imagine that we are the Karbanos. Really, the carbon has been welcome us. Really, we should have been geshachten, and the carbon is taking our place, and we have to do tshuva. So to a certain degree, if we're shechting the chirping, we have to shecht our own chirping. In other words, that chirping that we did with Chetchila, speaking Lashon Hara, we have to kill that. But then a person might make a mistake and say, I have to stop talking altogether. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to stop talking bad. He wants us to stop talking Lashon Hara, but he wants us to continue to learn Torah. He wants us to continue to daven. He wants us to continue to use our Dibur. The Chofetz Chaim Ki Yodua used to speak a lot. Chofetz Chaim wasn't someone that kept quiet. He spoke a lot of the Beit Torah and the Rei Musar and in Yonim of Chesed. So there only would have been one bird and we would have shechted it. That would make it sound like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to totally kill our power of Dibur. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Take two birds. One of them you shecht, that represents the Dibur of Lashon Hara, the chirping of Lashon Hara. But the other bird that chirps, that should be let fly, that should be left alive, that represents the Dibur of Kedusha, the Dibur that represents mitzvahs, that you should very much keep alive. Pasuk goes on to say, Kisavoyu el Eretz Kenan, Asher ani noisim lachem la'achuzet. When you'll come to the land of Canaan that I'm giving you as an inheritance. V'nosati neger tzaras b'veis eretz achuzascha. I will give a plague in the houses of the land of your inheritance. The prati. Kisavoyu b'surihi lachem. This is good news. Shahanegorin boyim aleihem. The plagues will come upon your house. Because when the Yidden were in the Midbar, the Amorim, they heard that the Jews were coming, they didn't want them to take over their treasures, so they hid the treasures inside the walls of the house. And through the Nega, the house is knocked down, and you find the treasures. The question is, first of all, it might be good news as far as the treasure goes, but the fellow loses his house. The fellow loses his house. What kind of good news is that? And it was tremendous b'zayinus. Because I'll say that why did the nega come? The nega came because of Tzoros Ayin. He didn't want to lend people his belongings. And now that they have to remove everything from the house, so people see all of their belongings, oh, remember I asked you to borrow the set of silverware. You told me you didn't have a set of silverware. I see that now you do have a set of silverware. And so on and so forth. It's terrible b'zayinus. So what kind of good news is that? On one hand, it's not good news, but on the other hand, it's not such good news. Where is the good news in the fact that there's a nega in the house? This is a question that the Mepharshim ask. So the Dubna Magid says a nifla de kipshat. The Dubna Magid in Megillas Eicha speaks about this pasuk over here, and he says that the land of Eretz Yisrael is a land like no other land. Every other land, Italians live in Italy. There's no intrinsic connection between Italians and Italy. Happens to be that's where they live. That's where they ended up. But there's no ruchnistic connection. If somehow or other they get used to living in China, then China would become their land. The same thing with Poland, with the Polaks, and Hungary, with the Hungarians. There is no chibur between the people and the land. Not so Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is like a custom-made suit for the Bnei Yisrael that no other person could wear. Custom made shoes. Somebody else puts it on. He'll look strange in it. Eretz Yisrael is custom made for the Bnei Yisrael. It has Ruchnius Dikis Gulis. It has Harabayis. It has Kedusha. It has a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the Sfarim bring down, that when people would eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, it gave them a better understanding in the Torah. The Chilazon is found in Eretz Yisrael. There are various Ruchnius Dikis Gulis and Milas that were tailor-made for Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael was tailor-made for Eretz Yisrael. It's like Klal Yisrael is the neshama of the land of Yisrael. So comes the Torah over here. How far is the chibur between us and Klal Yisrael that if we suffer a spiritual disease, it appears in the land, in the houses of Eretz Yisrael? That shows how connected we are to Eretz Yisrael. That if we have a Ruchni Yizdiki disease in our neshamas, that appears in the bias. If we wouldn't be connected to it, so what shaykh is us to the bias? What does one have to do with the other? It's one thing if it appears on the Gufa Adam, but to appear in his house, what connection is there? From here you see that we are so connected to the land that if there's a nega within the neshama of a person, it manifests itself even through his house. That shows the chibur between us and Eretz Yisrael, that it goes mamish into the houses of Eretz Yisrael. Menela, that's the shot over here when Rashi says, "Besuri yilochem," that the negam will come to the batim. It might not be such a pleasant thing, but it shows you just how you are mechuber to Eretz Yisrael. It's not the pshat that by happenstance you ended up in this land. The pshat is you are mechuber to Eretz Yisrael, and that in itself is great news. The Dibur HaMagid says, Moshe l'mahadar d'aymet. There's a fellow whose arm, Rahmanu l'Islam, was paralyzed. He lost feeling in his arm. And the doctors did everything they could to build it up and to massage it. And they told him that after a while it should get better. And when you start feeling pain when you knock it into something, you'll know that there's a refuah to the arm. So one time, a couple of weeks later, he bangs his arm and he feels terrible pain. So on one hand, it was painful. But on the other hand, it was a tremendous simcha for him because it showed that the arm now was connected to the rest of the circulation. Dr. Dubna Magid is the same thing over here with the nega. The nega on one hand is painful. And it's Taket Tzar. Of the Lamaisa, it shows that the house with the land is connected to Eretz Yisrael. It shows it's not Stam disattached. It shows that we fit like a glove together with Eretz Yisrael. And our HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach on us, that He gave us a land that is exactly fit for us. That is the Besura Teiva, even Mitzad the man. Look at Shabbos, everybody.
This was the Tzaras Ayin that they had. Because he was the Tzaras Ayin.